Well, it's good to see so many faces, some folks that I haven't seen in a while. It's good to have you here for this season. I'm really delighted. Great. God is just doing great things. And part of what He is doing, I think, is leading us through this week very, 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 very carefully. What I mean by that is, and if you've got your worship guys, you can pull those out right now. And I'd like you to pull out two things. One, you should pull out our outline for this morning, which is Hosannas and Hallelujahs. Hosannas and Hallelujah. And then the second thing you're going to want to pull out is the portion that says the Passion Week of Christ. The Passion Week of Christ. Just kind of keep that Passion Week near you. We are not going to be using it this morning. You're excited to hear. After seeing how long it is, you're like, whoa. We're supposed to get out of here in 20 minutes. What is up? That's because I'm not going to preach you that part. But I would invite you to use this over the course of this week. Those of you that have been a part of this church for a while are probably familiar with something like this that we've used in the past. This is a day-by-day walking through of this week that leads up to Good Friday and to Easter. And the reason that I'm inviting you to do this, and you're not just doing it with other people in this church, you are literally doing this with people all around the world. This week is known as the Passion Week of Christ, where He poured out His passion for His church all over the place. He literally poured it out in blood. He metaphorically poured out all of who He was on the cross for you and I. And He did so in order to glorify His Father in heaven, God, all part of His plan to pour out His wrath onto the only one that could absorb His wrath. I loved how Kristen mentioned this morning, as she was being baptized by her friend and mentor, that she recognized in her life that the wages of sin is death. You realize that none of us would be able to escape that penalty. Not just as human beings, physical death, but we would not ever be able to experience anything other than spiritual death if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. And this is the week that seals that in our lives. All of you that belong to Jesus Christ, all of you who have trusted Him as Lord and Savior, I want to invite you into this Passion Week, and I want to invite you into walking the road that Jesus Christ walked. All of that is articulated right in that guide that I've given you, and it will walk you through from actually, it starts with yesterday, but it kind of takes you through the whole week of Jesus Christ walking through the Passion Week. And I would implore you, I would beg you, if you have never done this before and it just seems like a tedious thing and you want to just throw this onto the front seat of your car and forget about it, I would just beg you. The rewards of walking through this week and reading those verses and praying to the Lord as He walks through this week are profound. And I just want to invite you in to walking through the Passion Week of Christ with Him. This morning's sermon is just a snippet, an introduction to the triumphal entry and what that triumphal entry meant. The rest of it is all articulated right in that Passion Week guide. And again, join with Christians all over the world to walk this week with Jesus Christ. You should open up your Bibles to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. We're going to be launching off and kind of even settling here in verse 9. Matthew 21, verse 9. When I was younger, I was not particularly thankful for being bald. It didn't bug me, but I also wasn't, it wasn't a great thing. But I got to tell you, when I have to do a quick switch like I do this morning to go from board shorts and a wet t-shirt over to regular, you know, Sunday clothing for me, I am so thankful that I don't have hair. I got to tell you, I'm doing a quick change in my office. I'm also appreciative that we took the security cameras out of my office, but, we've got those in hallways now. And so anyway, I am so appreciative that I don't have hair, because as I'm changing, I'm thinking to myself, if I had to brush my hair, like if I had this brother's hair over here, this blonde guy, I love his hair. He's got, dude, if I had hair, that would be what I would do with it right there. That is by far, I can see everybody in the room. That is the best hairdo in the room right now. But making a quick change when you've got a coif like that is not possible, all right? And so I'm so happy. Did I zip up my zipper? Yeah, okay, good. All right. Matthew chapter 21. I see my wife putting her head down. All right. Jesus Christ is coming into Jerusalem, and he's riding a donkey, fulfilling Old Testament prophecy that's detailed at the beginning of chapter 21. But in verse 9, it says, the crowds going ahead of him and those who followed. In other words, the crowds came out of the front of the city gates to meet him. They streamed out of the city gates and they met him as he was entering in, and they lined the road that was coming into Jerusalem. And all of them were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Pastor Scott mentioned this morning that Hosanna is an Aramaic word. What that means is that the language of Hebrew kind of morphed over many, many years. And the spoken language during the time of Christ was Aramaic. It was like it was a morphing of Old Testament Hebrew. The Old Testament is all written in Hebrew. It's a little more formal. Aramaic was kind of the conversational language of the time during Jesus' time. They wrote for precision in the language of Greek. However, the lingua franca of the day in Jerusalem was Aramaic. And so Aramaic is a little bit like, it's the difference between King James English. If any of you read the King James Bible, and you've ever thought to yourself, what in the world is going on there? These words, I don't understand them. It's the difference between that and reading the Bible in a modern day version, like the ESV or something like that. An eminently readable and understandable version of the Bible that's done very, very well. And so it's that kind of difference. It's the difference between old Shakespearean English and modern American English. That's Aramaic, okay? So that was the language that Jesus Christ spoke. He spoke Aramaic, and they're crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. On your outlines, we will take a look at this real briefly to find out what the significance of that is. When Jesus Christ enters into the city, number one, letter A, into the city of Jerusalem, the week before he was crucified, keep that in mind. These crowds are cheering him, aren't they? What will they be doing in only 5 or 6 days? These same crowds are going to be condemning him. It's almost like a politician, isn't it? On one day, everybody loves him. About a week later, his numbers are plummeting. That kind of thing. It's the same kind of picture that you see in the Passion Week of Christ. It is a downward spiral. And the only person in the entire crowd who knows what's going on is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that knows why he is there on this Passover weekend. He's the only one that knows that his Father has revealed to him, you are to go there and you are going to die there. And so as Jesus comes into the city, I doubt that he was very motivated by all of this. But it is true that the people of Jerusalem were recognizing him with titles, with recognition, and with cries that were meant from the Old Testament to be exclusively for the Messiah. Hosanna was a common greeting, actually, when you came through the gates into the city of Jerusalem. Many people said Hosanna to one another. It simply means, literally, God save us. God save us. They were a city that was occupied by foreign forces. And so the Jews in the city would say Hosanna to each other all the time. It was like in England saying God save the Queen. It was a common phrase to kind of express a little bit of Jewish solidarity. And it was also a phrase that was meant to recognize that God is king and he is in control. And so saying Hosanna was actually common. However, saying that Hosanna to the Son of David, not common. That's a messianic title, more significant than even the word Hosanna. Hosanna used commonly, Hosanna attached with Son of David, not used commonly. This was clearly a statement that they believed that Jesus Christ was the coming Messiah. And so the word Hosanna takes on special significance because of the context in which it is used in here. Hosanna to the Son of David, messianic title. They knew that the Son of David would be who the Messiah was. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's a direct quote from the Old Testament. We'll get to that. Hosanna in the highest. The impact and the power of Hosanna in the highest at the very end of that phrase is overwhelming, simply because this is clearly being addressed now to the Messiah. They are pleading with the Messiah, save us. Save us from Rome. Save us from all those things that are afflicting our city, that are afflicting our people. You are the Messiah. Save us, please. We are earnest in celebrating this. I mean, there are so, this isn't like a couple weary travelers being greeted on the road. The city has shown up. They're throwing down palm branches to make a path that is soft. They throw down their cloaks in front of him to make a path that is gentle. Predicted in the Old Testament, thousands of years earlier, fulfilled by Jesus Christ as he comes into this moment riding the colt. He comes into the city and he is recognized as their king. A week later, he would be crucified, but in this moment, he was greeted with cries of Hosanna. It is an Old Testament phrase, letter B. It comes from Psalm 118:26. If you would like to look back there, you can. I'm not going to cover the verse so much right now, but you will see in that verse a phrase that says, essentially, God save us. That is, if you were to take that, translate it from Hebrew into Aramaic, that is Hosanna. That is essentially where it comes from. It comes right from Psalm 118. It became a cry of anticipation of the Messiah entering into the city to free the people from captivity. This is what the Jews lived for. Orthodox Jews live for this to this very day. When you see Orthodox Jews, there's an Orthodox Jewish community that is not too far from here, kind of right on the border of Cyprus and Long Beach. When you see those Jews walking around, to this day, they greet them each other with what? Hosanna. Strange, isn't it? A cry of celebration for us. Hosanna in the highest. And you may not even have known what it meant. You may have sang that song out of tradition this morning, and you're just like, yeah, Hosanna. Got no idea what that meant, but I'm in church, right? We say all kinds of weird things here, so we just kind of figure it out as we go. Hosanna in the highest. God save us. We are exalting you by both title and we are appealing to you specifically that you are the only one who can save. Can you see why the worship? Can you hear that in the worship this morning? You alone can save us. That's the idea. That is Hosanna. You alone are the one that is able to save us. Hosanna. It is the cry of anticipation of Messiah in our lives. Letter C, the Old Testament phrase comes from a section of the Psalms. And this is important. Whenever you see something quoted from the Psalms, have you ever read the Psalms? It's painful. I'll be honest. There are certain Psalms which are more enjoyable than others, but it can be very, very difficult. Why? It's the same as if you picked up a hymn book out of a pew rack and began to read through the hymnal. There's all kinds of funny words. There's all kinds of odd phrasings. There's all kinds of things that rhyme. Unfortunately, it's been translated out of the language that rhymes, and now you have it in English. Doesn't rhyme at all. Doesn't make any sense to rhyme something in English that was written in Hebrew. Completely loses its original language significance in those moments. So when we read it, what do we think? These people did not know how to write. This is a bunch of gibberish that doesn't make any sense. And so it's really helpful to understand that this was a hymnal for the Jewish people, that it is broken up into five different books. Each one of them contains a different kind of emphasis in the book of Psalms. And each section of each book has special significance as to when it was used in the festival calendar for the Jewish people. It's a multi-layered book with significance only when you can kind of begin to understand some of its depths. Much in the same way that our culture has significant moments. The regular football season, pretty good. The playoffs, really, really good. Regular hockey season, probably not even worth watching. Playoffs, super exciting. How many of you have a hard time sitting through a baseball... Can you tell them a sports night? How many of you have a hard time sitting through 9 innings of a baseball game? But you'll watch the World Series. Why? Because that's halfway interesting. It's that kind of thing. When you plumb the significance of something, when you get down to why... to what it means and why it's special, that's what brings it true meaning. It's true in sports and it's true in simple things. My youngest daughter was playing with a couple of her friends and they were playing with American Girl dolls yesterday in the living room of my house. I was working on something, I don't remember what, and the girls are all talking and they're all saying, you know, no, that doll can't do that. Why not? Well, because, and I cut in. I'm like, hey, Michaela, I think you're being kind of rude. Dad, she's handicapped. She can't run across the room. You know, like, knowing the significance of what's going on just makes all the difference, doesn't it? So I backed away from playing with dolls and I left it to the experts. 9 and 10 year olds, all right? They're great at that. Not me. It's the same kind of thing. When you read these verses in English, they may not carry quite the significance that it did originally. But any Jewish person that heard the words, save us, knew that it came from a section of the Psalms which contained Psalm 118. Why? Because it was consistently read and used in their lives every single year on their festival calendar. And it was called, the section of Scripture that I'm referring to, is called the Great Hallel. Now, Hallel is not very significant to us because we don't speak Hebrew. But Hallel means praise be to God. You use Hallel how? Hallelujah. Now, we attach a little ending to it to make sure that it flows a little bit better and that it sounds a little bit more profound in English. But the word Hallel is essentially praise be to God. Hallelujah! Praise be to God. God save us comes from a section of the Scriptures that are known as the Hallelujah section. A lot of you know the Hallelujah chorus, or you'd recognize it if it was played. This is the same kind of emphasis. They are crying out to God and they are saying, praise you, God. Save us, Messiah. This is the celebration of the beginning of the Passion Week. It is distinctively Jewish, and it is distinctive because this has been predicted that this moment in history would happen for thousands of years. This was not something that the New Testament writers could have made up. This was not something that, you know, could have just been written into the text. They could have gone back to the Old Testament and kind of rewritten it. They would have been crushed for something that popular being utilized. No. This is clearly one of the most obvious and profound fulfillments of Old Testament prophecy written thousands of years earlier by prophets who string together numerous prophecies that when glued together produce this great praise be to God out of their songbook. Hosanna now takes on this meaning of Hallel or Hallelujah, letter D. It is a cry that we cry out to God for both saving and recognition that only He can save. He is to be praised for salvation. As we begin this Passion Week. And as I call on each one of you to take this guide home and to actually use it, all right? Don't paper the birdcage with it. Use this stuff so that it can have the same profound effect that it was written in the Scriptures for. The very first point that is on your outline for the Passion Week is how much emphasis is placed in each one of the gospel stories. Gospel means good news. The gospel stories are the good news about Jesus Christ. Look at the percentage that is used in each one of the gospels just to talk about this 1 week of Christ's life. The rest of the book, about the rest of his life. This 1 week gets this much emphasis. Is it any wonder why so many of us read the book of John? Look at it. Half of it's about this 1 week of his life. Is that crazy? This is the emphasis of the good news. It is centered on this singular week. Do not miss what Jesus Christ did here. Do not miss what Jesus Christ is doing today. History is not just some kind of wildly broad, disconnected, oh, those are just people from thousands of years ago. God has woven the thread. It is a bright red scarlet thread of redemption that centers through Jesus Christ and continues through our hearts today. Do not miss it. And if you've ever wondered who Jesus is, if you've ever wondered what is the big deal about following some dead guy that died 2,000 years ago, this is your week. Follow this guide and allow Jesus to reveal himself to you. He is to be praised. He is the source of both saving, and he is the only one by whom men can be saved. This moment is the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ. Hosanna to God in the highest. We cry it with Christians everywhere today. It is a Sunday of life change. That is why we have had baptisms on this Sunday for as long as I can remember. Why? Because Jesus Christ saves. And baptism is a public declaration that he continues to save to this day. And that the people that you saw baptized today, they are accountable to you for the rest of their days. That their lives stand for and remain in Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's the only one that saves. Praise be to God for all that he has done and all that he has planned throughout history, and that he invites you to be included in that. I pray that you will join with me and with Christians everywhere in celebrating this Passion Week of Jesus Christ. The worship team is going to come up and allow us to respond right now. Allow us to really celebrate Jesus Christ right now. I would encourage you with maybe some of this knowledge that we have gleaned out of the Psalms and out of Matthew. And really, the triumphal entry is covered in other parts of the Scriptures. That's all in the guide. That's all in your outline. As you continue to read, as you continue to glean knowledge, as you continue to appreciate what God has done through Jesus Christ, could I ask you to continue to praise him, to continue to respond to him? Whether you say it in your car on the way to work, or you say it, you know, in bed before you fall asleep at night, Hosanna to God in the highest. Praise be to him. Hallelujah for all that he has done. Let's stand and respond to him this morning.